Welcome to Wild, Women in Lending Determined to Make an Impact. I'm your host, Robin Lavasser. They say our biggest fear isn't being inadequate. It's being powerful beyond measure. In this podcast, I will share how to break through imaginary ceilings, lean into success, discovering your purpose, and understanding how to create the business and life of your dreams. From failures to triumphs and all the tactics in between, let's jump into the wild arena together. Welcome back to Wild. Today, we are talking about value. What is value? What's valuable to you? What's valuable to somebody else? I'll tell you what, I struggled with this. I struggled with understanding and knowing value, not only what I valued, but what other people valued. And I think that it really sums, well, I'll say this, value in general is summed up into three categories. Now, yes, that you could talk about all sorts of things. This is valuable. This is valuable. If you're really thinking about it, you could put it into one of these three categories, especially when it comes to business. And I want to give you the three categories. And then I want to explain to you how my business transformed when I not only understood what value was, I got clear on what value I wanted to bring. I got clear on how and who I wanted to bring it to. And then I came through with the end result of giving that actual value. Oh, that's the tough part, right? And I think it's why we often don't want to state something as valuable because we're afraid that if we put emphasis on it, like then I might have to commit. And so I want to talk about, I'm going to start with the three different definitions, in my opinion, of what value actually is. Value comes in the form of time, joy, or money. Imagine getting asked out to dinner by friends, and you and your significant other haven't been out for a very long time, and all of a sudden you get to go on a night out, and it turns out that who asked you is super negative, and they are not really the friends that you super enjoy. And so you could go out alone, or you could go with those friends, but you don't really like them all that much. You're going to say no because it doesn't fill two spaces, right? It doesn't fill time well spent, most likely, and it certainly doesn't fill your joy meter. I know that sounds crazy, but that's how we decide something, right? Is this, you could use words like, is this important enough to me? Is this a priority? But really you're saying, is there a value into my life? Now that doesn't make you selfish. That doesn't make the person on the other side selfish. It's saying we're only given a certain amount of time and opportunities at any given day. And we have to be able to choose, right? They say for every yes we give, we're saying no to something else. Oh, that means we're going to have to weigh out some value. When you're a lender or a realtor, anything in the sales world, people look for value in the form of kind of the basics, right? So you think time, joy, money. Well, what's the most common when you think of in lending and real estate? If it's not obvious to you, it's money. Now, I think we say the word money and sometimes we can affiliate that with how much money can I make? No, they might be thinking, how much money can I save by using you? Can I get you to discount your fees? Can I get a lower rate? Can I do all of these things? Because my perceived value is the very best rate on the market. My perceived value is the very highest price that it originally lists at as a realtor, right? That's my value. Is it? I actually think that oftentimes we think of value as a default, meaning that what do people think when they think home loan? What's the interest rate? What do they think when they think listing? How much can I sell my house for? What do they think when they think of buying? How much do I have to pay? And so we're programmed to think money, money, money. And that is a huge piece of that. And I'm going to give you a few different definitions around being a loan officer and how to really define what your value is. Now, the truth is you could be valuable in all three at once, or you could say, hey, this is the number one pathway to being valuable to this person. I made the mistake for years of buddy selling. It's not a bad thing. Let me stop for a second and say out loud, buddy selling actually created some great business for me. And I didn't realize how much of a crutch it was to me. Now, the truth is I relied a whole bunch on being a people person and really liking and enjoying people, right? And so when I say buddy selling, what it looks like is, hey, This was definitely me and still me now. And I'm not, this is not taking away from anybody that does this. So don't hear critique here. I'm going to expand and tell you how to take it to another level. So I would spend that, hey, you know, good to see you. Congratulations on the house sold. We should get together for coffee. Yeah, we should. Okay. What's this day look like? We meet. What do we do the whole time? We chit chat, right? About life, and we get to know each other and we definitely start to build a relationship. Now, while that is great, here's the truth of it. We barely have time to have coffee with our own friends. We barely have time to have coffee with our family members. We barely have time to have coffee alone with ourselves sometimes. Like, I'm a mom of 5 kids, so you don't. Like, to have coffee and just chit-chat, man, that doesn't feel that valuable. Now, it might be on the joy meter, but it might not be during an 8-to-5 work day or whatever hours you're meeting that's considered business, where you are away from your family, you're away from the other things that you do in your personal life in a business setting, and it's all you did was talk and then say, it was so good to see you, let me know if you need anything, and then we leave and we go, I hope I just got a lead, right? Like, I hope they call me with their next deal. I hope that they like me enough that we keep exchanging text messages, phone calls, we'll see each other again soon. But nothing is ever said truly around business. Well, if that realtor all of a sudden was super busy and I called and said, hey, let's get together for coffee, their response in that moment is probably going to be, I'm swamped. And what they're saying is, I don't have time for joy today. I'm making money and then I gotta conserve my time because I'm busy. And so my value is over here. And joy, which I really enjoy you, I really like you, I don't have time to come just have a joy chat. Well, now I feel a little rejected and I'm wondering if, you know, if I could help with anything. Like, great, you're busy. They might not even be busy. They might just be avoiding because they don't have, their value right now isn't in the joy chat. Well, I've never established any other value with them. So how do you do that? How do you establish value and understand what your value is? Well, here's what I will tell you. One of the things that I said to realtors consistently was, for every single transaction that you do with me, I will for sure bring value. And I was always willing to define it. Time, joy, money. What is my job for you? And I would challenge you for a second. Go talk to a bunch of referral partners that you have, and in the real estate space especially, and ask them what your job is for them. And if they say anything other than this, you know you have not really shown them or gotten them thinking about value. And here's what I mean. This actually ties in, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but this ties into a book called Selling the Invisible. And it's an incredible book. I can't even remember the author. It's so good. And it basically says, if we're all in a row and every single one of us is nice and every single one of us is likable and every single one of us has commonality and every single one of us is willing to buy coffee and sit and chit chat, how do they choose? Oh, wait, let's do it again. If they line us all up and every single one of us can offer the same rate, every single one of us can offer the same fees, every single one of us can close in the same amount of time, how do you choose? And so Selling the Invisible says it's about you, right? It was about Robin the loan officer really saying to, you know, we'll call it Susie the realtor, I understand what value is and I want to define and make sure that this value is the one that is most important to you that I bring. And it's not how quick I answer my phone. Okay, that saves time. That's a win. But would that be more important than I make you money? Now, if I could put more commissions in your pocket, if I could make sure that more deals closed, not just through lending, but through actual generated referrals back to you, but I also respond really quickly, which one is more important to you? Because if somebody also responds really quickly, is that the most important, but they didn't make you money, but I have this one over here and I make you money? Which lender are you going to want to work with the most as a realtor? For sure. This is business, you guys. And I think that sometimes we get caught up in the business world where we go, if I say it's about making money, it means I don't care about clients. I don't care about relationship. I didn't really care about that realtor. They don't really care about me. That's not true. It's both. But none of us do lending. Sometimes it might feel like it. None of us do lending. None of us do real estate. None of us do any job that we're spending time away for free unless we are filthy rich or a servant in general on a mission, right? Like you don't do a bunch of work for free. That's where you spend your time on the other things, right? Like that's where that comes in. That's the joy meter, right? That's the joy and the time over here. But when you're going to make a living, you've got to spend time thinking about money and how you deliver that value. With clients, it's an important thing. Did I save you money? Right? Did I help you make money in the future with how I strategized your loan? Did I save you time in how we accommodate and the way that we update? Did we bring you joy in the way that we create the experience? Those three things are very valuable to people, but I guarantee you with each client, now with me, I'm a super, and I don't mean this like an egotistical way, I'm an incredibly busy person. So what is my number one now that, I mean, I'll just be honest, now that I'm not broke, what is my number one? For most things, it's joy, but time is definitely second and money comes third. Now there was a long time where money came first, then time, then joy. That was the order I had to put things in. Right? I have to make money for my family. I have to save time so that I can be with my kids and my husband and my friends and family, and then also get to work. And then, gosh, I'll save that joy for later. Luckily, I'm one of those people that just has joy deep down inside. So that's not a tough one for me. But what are the experiences that I'm giving and sharing with other people? Where does that come from? And so I'm going to loop this back in with real estate agents. When you sit down with an agent, what I would always tell an agent is for every single transaction that you and I do together, I will create through my systems and processes at least two additional transactions for you in a 12-month window. Now, what's an average real estate commission? We'll say on average nationwide, let's just say $10,000 if they're making a full 3% on something. So if you were responsible for $20,000 additional dollars at a minimum, and keep in mind this compounds, right? Compounds means, okay, if I said that for one, it's not like it stops. Okay, I got you year two, it's over. No, the two more that we worked on together, that creates more, and then that creates more. So at a minimum in 1 year, it would be $20,000 additional dollars into somebody's pocket. And all the other things were also there, but this was one that you for sure stood by and you knew how to do. Is a realtor going to meet with you, use you, become loyal to you? And yes, you can build the relationship and the friendship and all of those things, but it wasn't at the forefront of what they thought of you about initially. They thought to themselves, I will for sure make more money, save more time, and then the joy part's a bonus in business if I work with Robin. Do people believe that about you? And can you come through on that? Now, for all of you overthinkers, you're thinking like, tell me the program where you make someone more money. Tell me the program where you come up with two more transactions for every deal closed. And I think that they think there's some magic system, flavor wave oven, if you will, that like cooks it out and says, here you go, you know, here's some more deals. And the reason we don't want to say those things is we're so afraid we actually won't be able to deliver. I could do 17 podcasts on this, on how you can deliver more value and create. And so one is just through tracking leads. Just through tracking leads in general and having an incredible follow-up system and making sure that you capture all those leads with the realtor and that you are consistently following up, not just one time, but you realize like statistically, the lead that doesn't respond right away, it actually generally cracks after about 9 touches. 9. Do you know how many people really do 9? It's almost 0. So if you just said, I for sure do 9 touches and this is how, right? And I track those leads. Oh, wait, I have maybe a credit rebuild program. I turn, you know, ones that don't qualify into qualifications instead of just no's. That's a deal, right? Okay, all of a sudden I can create more loans. I have a process where I ask for opportunities and current client referrals 100% of the time doing this, this, and this. And here are my stats on what that does for you. I do 30-day check-in calls after they close a loan. I do a annual review call where I not only review their mortgage, but reassess their 1 year and their 5 year plan. I do client appreciation events that I will co-brand with you to your database that you can bring clients in that we've worked on together or that we haven't, and they get taken care of and loved on. And we become at the forefront of their mind again as a lender and a realtor. And all of a sudden there's opportunity. I could literally just preach around how many things can create additional value. I'm going to give you one that is so basic in lending that we miss all the time. And this is the difference right now, you guys. If you're a private mortgage bank loan officer or you're self-generating for sure, and you're not trying to compete, there are plenty of people, especially as the market got hard, that decided I'm going to compete on price and price alone. You realize that's us becoming a commodity. And not only will we become a commodity, but at some point we will be 100% replaceable because someone will always find a way to do it cheaper. Always. And that doesn't mean you don't have to be competitive, but it is so incredibly important that you understand your value with clients, with agents, all of those things. And so one of the things, if an agent referred you a deal and they said, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, they want to buy a house. They currently own another home. It's their primary residence, and they want to turn it into a rental. Can they qualify to buy this other house? They already have one in mind. Typical lending, and this is the truth, and maybe this is you. And again, I don't say this so that you go, oh gosh, she's shaming me or making fun of me or saying I'm bad. That's not it at all. I'm saying be aware. Be aware of what you are doing and possibly the opportunity that you're missing out on. Gosh, the borrower said they want to keep their house. Great. I punched in all the numbers. The computer helped and looks like they qualified. The answer is yes. That is, I would probably argue and say that's 95% of lenders in the market. How valuable is that if 95% of the people can do that? So wait a minute. I'm going to actually talk to the client. We're going to meet face to face or we're going to meet on Zoom. Those are the non-negotiables. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to literally walk through what makes them want to own a rental property. I'm going to assess not only their down payment for the new house, but their reserves after everything is said and done, even though they qualify. Their understanding that what that rental property comes with, that eventually that home will then be, and I'm not a CPA, I'll disclaim, that home will likely be taxed at a different rate when they sell it because they turned it into a rental. Right now, those proceeds are potentially tax-free. How much time do they have? Property management. There's so many things. And I'm okay if they land back at, yes, for sure, it makes sense for us to keep that house as a rental. But I will tell you guys, there has been countless times where for their direct circumstances, it has made a ton of sense in that circumstance. Now, I believe in rental properties, but maybe for that circumstance, it makes the most sense to achieve the next step for them to sell that house and buy a new one. If I'm an order taker lender and they for sure get approved with that scenario, I simply say yes to the agent. Here I am, hero Robin. Like, I did exactly what you asked me to do. I did it fast. I did it with a smile. Your clients like me. I told them yes, 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 and you can go shopping. But wait, I stopped doing that years and years and years ago. And as I talked to the borrowers and as I guided them, as we came to an educated decision together, weighing all parts, sometimes it's a, let's talk to your financial advisor. Let's talk to your CPA. Let's look at what your future 1 year and 5 year plans are. Let's talk about, you know, I had a couple that literally wanted to have a baby and lose one of their incomes. And that payment was going to be so, so, so tight. And they really weren't that attached to being a landlord, if you will, and they had great 401k options. Like, it made sense in that moment for them to list and sell that other home in order to buy this new home and give up an entire income. But if I would have never asked any future questions and I just would have said, hey, you qualify with everything you just asked me to do, and I'm going to call your agent. And again, just give them the big thumbs up with a smile because that's my job. That's me being an order taker in my job. And so instead, those clients decide to list their home and sell. Wait a minute. You just gave me a deal and I just created another deal for you based on one loan consultation because I was interested. I was engaged. I had strategy. I was wanting to make sure that that client was making a sound decision, not just giving me an order of what they thought they wanted and me taking it down and then delivering. That's not really value. So they go sell their house and the realtor ends up with two deals as a result. But we don't even edify that as lenders, you guys. We don't even edify it. Oh, they decided to sell. Like, that's still their client. We don't even count it in our minds. Like, we just helped that agent make money. I just told you 95% of other lenders would have never had that conversation. And that house would have likely never been listed. Or when it did get listed, 1 year down the road, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. How good are people at database management? How good are they at keeping in touch with their clients? I will tell you, very few are super strong. So those clients all of a sudden meet a new realtor and they go list 2 years from now with somebody else on the property they thought they wanted to keep forever, right? And the whole thing is lost. Oh, wait, not with me. I do client appreciation and I do annual review calls. And not only do I do an annual review call on the current home, but on all of their real estate because we take notes on it and make sure that each of those homes is being talked about whenever we connect with them. Birthday calls. I mean, there's so many opportunities. And what I think people think is if I call them, it'll be weird. You're right. If you call those clients, it'll be weird if the only thing you're thinking is, do you want to do a loan with me? That's weird. That's high pressure selling. But if you're thinking, I'm really curious, how's the house? How's life? How's that rental property going for you? I told you I was going to check in, i.e. natural accountability. Has anything changed? Did you guys end up, you know, taking away one of the incomes? How's the family growing process? Like, we're going to talk about all these things. And then likely the realtor hasn't done a great job of that, especially if they've been busy. And oh, wait, now down the road, I've created an opportunity, right? Because I'm willing to do that work. When they can see you as an extension of their business that will then drive more business to you because you are systematized and disciplined and all of those things, man, they go, wait a minute, that's not 20,000, that's 40,000, that's 50,000, that's 60,000. That's us being in partnership because you deliver the value. I know I'm giving you a lot of information. I hope that the scenarios help you as you listen to this. I want you to pause for a minute and define what you would anticipate being in a business partnership with somebody and what value you can expect from it. And if another value came along, let's say that you love your financial advisor or your CPA. Let's do a CPA right now. You love your CPA. But all of a sudden, another CPA came along and said, hey, I looked at your returns and I for sure can get you another $20,000 this year. Man. Now, I'm wondering if that, I love them, but we're not like best friends, right? I mean, I'm loyal, but we're not like, you know, we're not related. So I'm thinking about $20,000 extra from the CPA sounds pretty darn good. Oh, they struck a chord with what was valuable to me in that circumstance. You guys, it's that simple. And if you're not clear with other people on what is most valuable to them, and then you're not clear how to deliver it in each category and what that looks like, you will always, always be trying to cater, if you will, or become a commodity that just matches what everybody else is ultimately doing and hoping that they pick you and stay with you for long enough until something else more valuable comes along. So know your value, find your value, show your value, and rinse and repeat.